And we welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Birds on the Black. And you'll find her at Tara Wellman on Twitter. We are now a week into the Mike Shildt era. We have seen the Cardinals play 5 games with the Cubs, unfortunately losing 3 of those. Darrell, let's just talk a little bit about, in general, what we've seen this week. And, of course, you were on site, as it were. You were in Wrigley to some degree for a couple of the games this week. And maybe it's because we're looking at it in a different perspective, but it feels to me that even though the results somewhat are the same, this team feels different than it did maybe a week ago.
Oh, it absolutely does. I think that... you know, it's hard to say anything about that without it being a bit of a shot at Mike Matheny. Not that we haven't taken our share of shots before, but it somehow seems a little less fair when he is no longer a part of the equation. But it does seem like the clubhouse has a much different vibe, and it's hard to really say that from the outside looking in, but from people I've heard from and things that we've seen, it seems like there's a different feel, and whether that's because of the absence of Mike Matheny or because of sort of the wake-up call that a number of the guys have talked about in the firing of any manager mid-season, there definitely seems to be a difference. There seems to be a different feel to the clubhouse chemistry, but there also seems to be a little bit of a different attitude on the field that hasn't necessarily translated into better results, like you said, but even being there for a couple of games this weekend, it did feel different, and that's so subjective, and it's a really hard thing in a world that's so analytical, especially when it comes to on-field performance of a baseball team, because they still didn't win the series. They still played 5 games and lost more than they won. So it's not as if there was suddenly this switch that flipped and the Cardinals were good again, but from the reactions of the players to the transparency of the interim manager, Mike Shildt, there's a different feel. It almost feels like everyone can take a deep breath for the first time in a long time. And I think there's at least an air of feeling like that's going to turn into results at some point. The question then becomes, how long can you wait for that in a season that is quickly nearing the latter stages and make any sort of run? And that's sort of the question the Cardinals are trying to answer right now.
Yeah, and that's the question that we'll probably try to tackle here in a little bit as well, and with a lot less success than hopefully the Cardinals will have. I do think that you look at this week, and maybe it's telling, but the 3 losses that the Cardinals had, you could pretty much pin it on one thing, the bullpen. That's a difference right there than what we've seen the last few weeks. Because sometimes it was the bullpen and sometimes it was a starting pitching, and a lot of times it was the offense and it was this or that. The offense showed up for this series. Obviously, Matt Carpenter did quite a bit. But, you know, even over the whole, even with a 2-hit game in there, the Cardinals hit 300 for the series as a team. It didn't feel like, at least watching some of these games, it didn't feel like, oh, they're going to completely shut down now and there's nothing. They seem to put enough runners on base, and even if they didn't get them in, it just felt like you didn't have those, you know, long stretches where nothing happened. There may have been a couple here and there, but for the most part, it felt like this offense was more engaged, more aggressive, perhaps. So, you know, you fix the bullpen and everything's hunky-dory, if then it's just that easy, right? I mean, how hard could that be?
By that, you mean trading almost everyone out of the bullpen? How many guys can you DFA at once?
and that's an interesting question that has come up in some of my Twitter private messages today, because that is a very interesting point that maybe we'll also tackle. But I do like the fact that Mike Shildt, I mean, one, Mike Shildt obviously likes talking to the media a whole lot more than Mike Matheny ever did. And it shows.
I mean, low bar, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure anybody, could fake some sort of, smile or, different tone would seem to be better than Mike Matheny talking to the media. But also, Mike Shildt is perfectly willing to sit there and tell you every single thing he was thinking about any kind of key decision. And I think that's, one, that's going to get him a whole lot of good press for a while, because the media is going to love this. They're after spending, number of years trying to pull any kind of reasoning out of Mike Matheny with, any tool at their disposal, and then Mike Shildt just kind of comes laser out there and answers questions before they ask them. They're going to love that, but it also helps the fans. I think, that was the biggest thing. If we can disagree on a bunt, but if Mike Shildt comes in and says, yeah, bunt's probably not good usually, but this is why we did it here, and, this is what we were trying to do, and then, at least people could say, yeah, maybe I don't really agree with it, but I can see what he's saying. And I think that's going to give him a lot more cachet, if you will, too. And so all of that is just, it is a different perspective on the team. And I know that there's already people out there have moved on to the next whipping person. Now they're all on Mo for getting a terrible team on the field, because there are people that just have to hate something. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited about watching this, even though, like I said, the results weren't necessarily exactly what we wanted to see. Now, the Cardinals leave Chicago in worse shape than they went in. They are now fourth in the division. They're 8.5 games behind the Cubs. They're 4.5 games out of the wild card spot, tied with the Giants and trailing three other teams that aren't, not counting the two wild card teams. Tara, you and I were talking right before the show came on, and you were of the opinion that this didn't really clarify the picture much for the Cardinals.
I think if you look at the standings, the numbers you just quoted, it seems very obvious that the Cardinals are not where they need to be to make a postseason run. I think if you look at the track record of the Cardinal brass, they will see 1 week of Mike Shildt where some very specific things seem to be making progress. 1 week of the new coaching staff where you saw a 5-game series where the Cardinals struck out fewer times than they probably did in the 2-game set with the Chicago White Sox a couple weeks ago combined. Because of a difference in approach, things that you can see immediately. Plus, you're looking at a manager who is, I mentioned this when I did an interview with Jessica Kleinschmidt from MLB Cut 4. We were talking about the whole interim manager process. Typically is kind of a lose-lose situation, right? Because you're handed a season that went bad quickly. You're typically handed a team that's not what it should be or what you would like to have from a winning team. And you either have these astronomical expectations of pulling it all together, or you have absolutely no expectations because everyone thinks you're just a complete disaster. So there's also that aspect for Mike Shildt where he's coming into a situation, but with this team, with this roster, there are some very specific guys who are underperforming this season, And there are some indications that part of the struggle was directly related to the previous manager. So, you know, there's a time frame involved in letting him kind of get his feet wet and sort of see what needs to change and how things need to change. And maybe he doesn't hit the ground running in this first series, but things start to click in the next week. Now, the Cardinals are far enough into the season where they don't really have a whole lot of time to sit around and see what happens before they make a choice about the direction they're going to go with the rest of this year. Because of that track record that I mentioned with this team that always wants to be buyers as opposed to being sellers, contrary to some of the stories we've heard since the Mike Matheny firing, they never want to put themselves in a position where they're not going to compete. So I could see them trying to come up with some move at the deadline that makes them competitive enough to try to squeak into the playoffs and see what happens. I'm not convinced, and maybe this is just because of what we've seen in the Mike Matheny, or I can't even say the right names anymore, but in the John Mozeliak era, it's hard for me to imagine them actually becoming sellers for a couple of reasons. One of them being they don't have a ton of pieces that are going to be very easy to sell right now. But I also think that there were enough, just barely enough positives from this weekend that I could see them wanting to hold out hope a little bit more, and see if they couldn't work a deal that involved Jose Martinez and a starting pitcher or whatever it might be to try to just get them in and see what happens come October.
And, you know, obviously all that is fair enough, and that is obviously the track record that we've seen out of the Cardinals. It also, I have to wonder how much that track record has taken a hit with, one, the results of the last couple of years, you know, like, what's the definition of insanity? But also, you know, the change at the top, because this, it's not the Cardinal way or the Cardinal tradition or the Cardinal MO to fire a guy like Mike Matheny in the middle of the season. So, you know, if they're willing to change there, are they willing to change other places? I don't know. You know, we've had reports that the front office has looked to do some selling, because they are getting into that unsustainable spot, where they're not bad enough to get good quality talent in the draft, but they're not good enough to make the playoffs. And I think, you know, I think that's probably the worst case scenario for the Cardinals this year, is that they go on a little bit of a run and still find themselves three or four games short of the playoffs, but pass up a whole lot of teams and they draft like, you know, 11th or 12th or whatever they, you know, or even lower, and maybe, I guess, probably even lower than that in the draft. I don't know. You're right, though. The pieces are not necessarily there, especially with Carlos Martinez going on the disabled list this week, you know, when he, I don't know if the Cardinals would have traded him, but he would have been at the top of the market had he been, you know, had they made him available, and they could have brought in quite a bit, but that would have been a significant blow to their chances. I mean, do you really think they would have even considered that, or is that just a lot of, you know, media hype?
I think that they would take some phone calls. Knowing how John Mozeliak tends to do business, granted, I don't know how much of a voice. I don't know if other teams actually have Michael Gersh's phone number. I'm not sure if that's a number that is publicly available.
Does Michael Gersh have a phone?
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
So I don't know who they actually call to make these unofficial offers, but whomever it is they're speaking to, I presume would at least listen politely. But if it's anything like we've seen in the past, the valuation of Cardinals players by Cardinals staff tends to be a bit different than market value. That said, this was a year where we all talked about Carlos Martinez really needing to step up and prove that he could be that guy. And for a while, it looked like he was doing absolutely that. I mean, he had the first start of the year against the Mets that was pretty rough. But after that, man, There have been very few times where I've had as much fun watching a starting pitcher as I did with Carlos Martinez there before the first time on the DL. He was just absolutely extraordinary, and the way that he was going about his business seemed like it finally made sense, and he was really in a zone, and he had learned how to, you know, sort of control all of that talent. And then, you know, whether it was the time on the DL or, I don't know, whatever is going on in his life away from the field, I don't know. There could be so many factors coming into play that have kept him from getting back to that level. It feels like the Cardinals are growing a little bit impatient with Carlos developing into that guy they can depend on every 5 days. That's not to say that he won't ever be that guy, and I certainly would hate to see him become that ace for another team. But if the Cardinals are going to go into selling mode, you know, he'd be the piece that you would think would make the most sense. The injuries off and on this year, that's a new thing for him to try to sort through, and he hasn't done a real great job of navigating it for whatever reason, and that might be a bit of a problem in the trade talks. However, it doesn't appear that the injuries have been serious, and I could see another team out there thinking, okay, you know, when he's healthy, he's one of the best talents in the game. We just need to try to find a way to harness all of that and keep him healthy. And they might be willing to go all in on the chance that he does become what everyone seems to think he can be. So as far as whether they would or wouldn't, my guess is that it's one of those where John Mozeliak says, well, we don't really plan to, but if someone came to us with the right options, we'd at least have the conversation, and then go from there. But you're right. The Cardinals don't have a ton of really marketable trade chips right now, partly because of the season that they've put together and partly because of the way some of those contracts are structured. They're just not very appealing to other teams. But I'm not sure they're convinced that this roster is as bad as it looks. So they may feel like they're not as far away from some level of competition, as the reality might be.
You know, and again, I look at this and I feel like it's a team that that the front office isn't necessarily going to want to invest in, that they might just say, hey, let's see if the manager change fixes it, and if it does, great, and if it doesn't, no big deal, because we weren't making it anyway. But we're not necessarily going to go and add pieces to this team when there's not a real good chance of them doing anything with those pieces. I do look at the usage of Jose Martinez over the last week, and it seems very difficult for me to believe that he's still going to be here in a week. You know, he did not even play in the game where they scored 18 runs. He got, I think, a couple of starts, but, you know, he's out of the game by the sixth or so when he does start. He's not going to be playing the outfield with the recommitment to Dexter Fowler that seems to be there. I just do not see how Jose Martinez can stay on this team, because I think he's too good to be this glorified pinch hitter, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this is a problem now, but it's one of the few times where we've sort of seen this coming. But unlike the brief moment where we thought, man, what are the Cardinals going to do with seven starting pitchers and only five available spots? And that lasted about a day and a half before we realized, actually, the Cardinals have like 4.5 starting pitchers. So that's a thing. But no, this was, like, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. This was always going to be a thing as long as Jose Martinez and Matt Carpenter and Colton Wong and Jed Jerko were on this team, because the outfield was crowded as it is, and there's still talent at the AAA level that could probably be given an opportunity if they didn't already have too many players for not enough positions. And when you're a defensive liability in that sort of mix, it's going to be hard to come up with enough at bats, because a team that's not great defensively anyway can't really take any more hits on the defensive side of the ball. So this was always going to be a dilemma. This was always a sort of weird part of the puzzle that everyone assumed would, as John Mozeliak likes to say, just work itself out. And it did for a while. But now that it's not, it's very painfully obvious that this is not the team that Jose Martinez fits into in its current construction. Plus, I don't know that you're going to have an opportunity to trade Jose Martinez when his value's higher because of the offensive numbers he's put up this season. So, I agree. I think it's hard to imagine a scenario where Jose Martinez stays with this team just because it's never really made sense as far as the roster makeup with him in that spot. And there's no good way to solve that even when you're not having to Matheny proof the roster to some extent.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be something that's going to be very interesting to watch both this year and then this offseason, especially if they continue with Mike Schilt, is to see what kind of restrictions are taken off of the front office, because they do not have to necessarily worry about how things are going to be used. They have a little bit more confidence in the person that's leading them, but that's for this winter. Like we said earlier, the biggest issue right now, as of this week, and that doesn't mean that things can't change, is the bullpen. And we watched this bullpen this week, and there was just really, really nobody. You know, after earlier this year, we kind of started to see, you know, Greg Holland came back and was looking good, and Tui Lavalla was pitching well, and Tyler Lyons had looked good for a while, and then you had Hicks and Norris, and you started to see, hey, yeah, I can see where this bullpen is going to be good, and that feels like years and years ago now, because when the bullpen door opened this weekend, I don't know that there was anybody that came out of that you really felt, except for maybe Bud Norris, who didn't show up until, you know, the end of games, I don't know there was anybody that you really felt was going to get the job done. And that's, I mean, it's really tough to deal with when you're playing games that, you know, a lot of those games were close. They were 3-2 or 2-1 or whatever. And then all of a sudden by you look up and it's 7-2.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's 16-2 and then Brett Cecil comes in and all of a sudden you're wondering if that's a big enough lead. No, you know, it's a weird situation because there are more arms that you'd like to see not pitch another inning for the Cardinals this year than ones that you'd like to see used at some point. And it was interesting to me to see, of course, Brett Cecil pitched in that the blowout game on Friday, but then to see him in the game on Sunday in a much closer situation where the game was still within reach, it was an interesting decision to go with Brett Cecil there. I mean, obviously there's been a challenge as far as left-handed relievers this year and not having anyone, I'm sorry, Tyler Lyons, that you can rely on. He just hasn't been the same as he was last year, and there hasn't really been anyone else that's been able to step into that role either. I think Ryan Sheriff sort of positioned himself to be that guy before he got hurt earlier in the season when he was at Memphis as well. But nonetheless, there's not a lefty out there right now that we trust. So to see them go to Brett Cecil in a scenario that was about as pressureless as you can get in an official major league regular season game, and him not be able to get outs, and then to go to him today and watch him still not be able to get outs. You know, it was almost to me like, all right, we're going to put you out there, give you this chance. But hi, John Mozeliak, this is what we're working with. So, you know, I don't know what you can do with Brett Cecil and Tyler Lyons and Matt Bowman, and who else is out there that can't get any outs right now. I mean, Tui Villala hasn't been particularly effective as of late either. So, the mix out there just isn't great. And I think the majority of the pressure weighs on the fact that they don't have anyone who can get left-handed batters out, late in games. And than everyone else. It's just sort of just a domino effect from there. Bullpens are finicky anyway, mm-hmm. and when you pull one piece out, it's kind of like Jenga. Now I'm just going to make use of all the board game metaphors. I use dominoes and Jenga at this point. We'll see if I can work in like Monopoly and Uno at some point. But you know, the pieces start to fall apart really quickly when you take somebody out of a defined role, and in a bullpen that has been in flux quite literally from day one. Oh, Greg Holland. That's the other name I didn't mention. let's just add one more to the handful of guys that can't get outs anymore. But the bullpen has been pretty fluid all season, and that hasn't really helped nail anything down, but it also has been pretty fluid all season because they don't have anyone that can consistently get outs outside of Bud Norris and, for the most part, Jordan Hicks. So if there's a place for a pretty obvious upgrade, it's clearly the bullpen. I just don't know if you can make a move that fixes the bullpen by bringing in one, you know, one outside the organization piece and someone from Memphis. I'm not sure if that's enough.
You know, right now the bullpen doesn't have a clue. To continue your board game analogies.
There it is.
See,
there it is.
There you go. I can stretch with them ever, the best of them. But they don't. I mean, you look at that. You look at Cecil, and you're right. Up by double digits, and you can't trust him to get more than an out because he gives up three runs, and you got to go to another guy. In a series where you're going to play five games in 4 days, you want, you know, you couldn't make the argument you should just left him out there to, you know, get beaten around and hope he could get out of that. But still, I guess the idea you might need him at some point in time. But yeah, he pitched twice in the series. He pitched, got an out both times. He gave up three runs both times. That's a problem. You know, Greg Holland started to look like he's fixed. Doesn't look like he's fixed anymore. That's a problem. and there's a lot of people talking about, you know, the three-letter word, which is DFA. For both of those guys, if not all of them. I think that we could be getting close to a Greg Holland DFA just because they only have him under the hook for two more months. They're obviously not getting much out of him. If you want, you're going to start needing some 40-man roster spots probably pretty soon. You could see that just, you know, cut your losses, go from there. Cecil, he has two more years, and this is probably the biggest argument about not giving a reliever more than a year a contract, because they do things like this. Although he's, you know, it's kind of frustrating. Cecil was actually pitching pretty well until this series, at least for a while. And I guess that maybe that's the other thing. These guys show that they can be good pitchers. They can get people out, and then they go through spurts where they can't get anybody out. So I don't know. You're right. You can't just make one move and all of a sudden everything's great. It's not like you can, you know, there's some ideas at times of, oh, get a closer and everybody backs up and it makes the bullpen so much better. I mean, that's just not going to work here. And honestly, I don't know that there are any arms in Memphis that are doing, I mean, John Brebbia is already back up, I think. I didn't see who went back down after when Weaver, after the 26-man thing. Oh, look at that later. But, you know, Brebbia's up here. You've got Austin Gomber and Ponce de Leon, Daniel Ponce de Leon, coming up as starters this week, which is probably another indication you're not in the pennant race that you think you're in. When you have a starting series of three rookies. I mean, those are guys that maybe you could trade for a starter and move into the bullpen, but I just don't, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it feels like if you do enough moves to fix the bullpen, you're really going to have to do some selling. And if you're doing selling, why are you trying to fix the bullpen? So,
yeah it's like I said, there are too many moving parts at this point. It was brought to my attention this weekend that Tyler Webb is a left-handed pitcher at Memphis, who's actually been pretty solid in AAA this year. Hasn't been great in his major league appearances, but again, a guy that you could at least maybe see if it sticks, because nothing else has this year. Although, you know, you've got two starts coming up in Monday and Tuesday that you feel like you're going to need to have a bullpen available for, and then Tyler Webb threw 3+ innings today for Memphis. So, you know, the guy that you think, okay, maybe this guy has some potential here, doesn't seem to be on the radar for the powers that be. So that's also not, been uncommon this season as far as the personnel and that shuttle from Memphis to St. Louis. But, you know, at some point, I guess the challenge continues to be, what are the Cardinals doing? Because if they're trying to find a way to be competitive this year, they got a lot of stuff to figure out. and they need to get a move on. But if they're not, if they're sort of just taking the season for what it is and setting themselves up for the next couple of years, then in a similar fashion, I think they kind of need to get a move on. They need to you know, maybe give Tyler O'Neill some more time at the major league level. They need to look at some of these Memphis arms. They need to do something with Patrick Wisdom, because poor guy is wasting away in AAA, whether he could ever be a consistent major league player or not, because there's just not an opportunity, and the Cardinals aren't involving him in trades, and maybe that's because no one has picked up the phone to call about him. But you know, there are a number of names that should be in the mix, at least to see what you're working with, if the Cardinals are not going to go out and try to do anything with this team in its current form. You know, I think it's a tough ask to say to Mike Schilt, hey, this is your long-term audition for the role, good luck with a pretty broken team. But it's also hard to look at this team and, as you said, find a whole lot of reason to invest in it at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, again, the Cardinals have, with the All-Star break being late, the Cardinals are at 63 games left. They're right at, you know, they'll be at 100 games tomorrow after playing the Reds. That's not much time. And then, again, obviously, you've got that week that's just hanging over us, this last basically 9 days until the trade deadline. And, you know, you don't want to be hanging around needing to make a trade at 3 o'clock on the 31st. I mean, that's not a good idea. So this could be a very active week for the Cardinals. It could be a week where we hear a lot of smoke and not a lot of fire, and maybe that some of those people that are starting to turn their gaze toward the front office will be a little bit more justified in that. I don't know. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what decision they make. You know, if the Cardinals go out and lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati, it might solve their problems real quick. But even if they sweep the Reds, it's very difficult to see them catching the Cubs. I think that we can all say that. And that wild card race is such a jumble. And again, we all remember 2011 and other things like that. But, you know, those things are historic for a reason. They don't happen all the time. And with that in the Cardinals' history, it does become difficult to rule anything out. But it's not looking real great. Who knows? We'll have to find out. We'll see where we're at next week. But I think we've kept you long enough. We've done our half hour and we have come up with no solutions, which is,
you're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, if you turned looking for solutions, I think you got the wrong podcast in the first place. So, but Tara and I will be back next week and we will talk about, another Cubs series. We'll be almost done with the Cubs by after that, which is good. I think, And we'll talk about the Reds, and we'll see what this team looks like, because I'm kind of feeling that there's going to be something different about this team next week. What do you think, Tara?
Oh, you know, we keep saying that. although this last week we did finally get something different. You know, they might not be better by next week, but at least they're keeping it interesting.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, if nothing else, you're right. You get to see Austin Gomber make a start this week. We get to see Daniel Ponce de Leon actually make his major league debut instead of sitting on the bench. He's guaranteed for that. I think there's going to be something interesting to see there. they may not go the right way. It may wind up being ugly, but for the most part, I think we're gonna it'll have something to be watching instead of a lot of, you know, why should I turn on the TV? There'll be reasons to watch, and I guess that's better than some weeks. So, but we'll get at you next week, and we'll see where we're at. So until then, that's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.